Today we'll talk about one of the most powerful teachings ever, plus we'll discuss prayer. It's all coming up on this episode of the Gary Zimek Show. Stay tuned. Here we go. So how are you? Doing okay? Welcome to the program. Come on in. I saved you a seat right up in the front here. You know who I am. I'm Gary Zimek, and I'm pleased to be back here with you on Blog Talk Radio, as well as TuneIn Radio, iTunes. I'm all over the place, that's for sure, and I try to make it as easy as possible for you to listen to this program. I'm grateful that you could join me today. As I mentioned at the start of the show, we're going to look at one of the most powerful lessons ever, the Beatitudes. Jesus, from his Sermon on the Mount, gave us the Beatitudes. They can be very hard to understand because they really are a paradox. The message is not something we would typically think of. But that's the great thing about Jesus, because he would stretch those who follow him, and that's what he does to us. In addition, we're going to look at prayer from the Catechism of the Catholic Church. We'll talk about different kinds of prayer. So we really have a lot going on today, and I'm glad that you could join me. If you are on my email mailing list, you should have gotten a newsletter today. And boy, I'll tell you what, it's been a long time since I sent anything out. I apologize for that, but it's just been a little overwhelming to try to get it done. In the newsletter, I talk about the Pray, Hope, and Don't Worry retreat that will be taking place in the Philadelphia area in August at the Malvern Retreat House. It's a three-day retreat. We did it last year for the first time. We sold out. We did really well. I expect to sell out again this year, so if you are interested, and I'm doing five all-new talks, everything's different from last year. If you're interested, please check out followingthetruth.com. You'll see a banner right when you get to the homepage. Click on it, and then you can register for the retreat. If you have any questions, you can email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. Also, in the newsletter, I talked about the fact that we're heading into the low point for all ministries. The summer is challenging. Summer can be very difficult because the donations just don't come in the summer. That's just the way it is. I am heading into the summer at an all-time financial low, and the reason I tell you that is because I need your help. If you would like to see my work continue, could you please help me out? You can do that by visiting followingthetruth.com and clicking on the donate page and making a secure donation. You can either become a monthly sponsor of the program or make a one-time contribution. While you're there, don't forget my Amazon store link. So if you shop from Amazon.com and you use the link on my website, that helps me. In addition, when you purchase Mystic Monk Coffee through my website, which, by the way, is the best coffee you'll ever drink, that also helps me. So all of those things are ways to help me financially, and I thank you in advance for anything you can do. All that is included in the newsletter. If you didn't get it, you can sign up for my mailing list for future mailings by going to my website, followingthetruth.com. Let's see, any other news? The only other news I can think of is that on Wednesday I'll be doing my weekly appearance on EWTN Radio on the Sunrise Morning Show. We will continue the discussion of my new book, Find a Real Friend in Jesus. And if you haven't got yourself a copy yet, if you're somebody that would like to grow closer to the Lord, even if you have what you would consider to be a good relationship with him, the book is available, and I really believe that it will help you. I think I've written it in what I would consider a very simple style, and it really does get to the point and will help you to grow closer to Jesus. Let's see. That's about it for the news. If you'd like to bring me in to speak, please visit my website, followingthetruth.com, for more information. I have been getting some inquiries recently. Activities really picked up in the last couple of days, so if you're interested in bringing me in either next year or maybe later this year, I recommend you contact me as soon as possible to make sure that you can get the date that you desire. Okay, does that sound good? All right, let's pray, and then we got a lot to talk about today. We'll do the mass readings first, then we'll talk about this discussion on prayer. Speaking of prayer, here we go. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for giving us another day. Thank you for the many blessings that you have given to us. Thank you for letting us speak to you. Thank you for always being there for us, no matter what time of day it is. Thank you for loving us unconditionally, so that no matter what we do, you will still love us. Thank you for sending us your Son, Jesus, to be our Redeemer. Thank you for the gift of the Catholic Church. And thank you for the gift of Sacred Scripture, so that we can hear you speak to us through the pages of the Bible. Father, we ask you to bless us, to bless our families, to bless those around us. Please help anyone who is sick tonight, anyone who is lonely or anxious or struggling with doubt or despair. Help those who are battling addiction, dealing with extreme weather conditions, or facing financial difficulties. Please help us with our own personal intentions, whatever they may be. Please speak through me on the program today. Allow me to step aside so that your message can be proclaimed, and open our minds and our hearts, Father, so that we may be receptive to your message. In addition, we ask you to bless our priests, our religious, our deacons. Please increase vocations, and please put an end to abortion in the world. And we ask for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of Peace, pray for us. Oh, I'm sorry. And now I'm almost forgetting the Blessed Mother again. We turn now to our Blessed Mother Mary, and we ask for her prayers as we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of Peace, pray for us. Good Saint Joseph, pray for us. And Saint Norbert, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Yes, I can't believe that I almost left the Blessed Mother out. Tell you what, I'm sorry, Mom, for almost forgetting you. So it's so important that we pray to our Blessed Mother, to ask for her intercession every day. And I always like to do it on the program. Today is the memorial of Saint Norbert. Let me tell you a little bit about him as I take a sip of my beverage du jour, which happens to be a cup of Maxwell House coffee. I'm out of Mystic Monk coffee. I've got to get a new supply soon. Saint Norbert is a convert from court life. Norbert received a papal commission to preach throughout France, serving wherever he was needed. His contact with the reforms of Saint Bernard of Clairvaux influenced the founding of the Premonstratians, a community of active priests with monastic disciplines. Norbert was responsible for the first third order of lay persons established when he counseled a nobleman to remain in his state in life and gave him a small white scapular to wear. He was elected an Archbishop of Magdeburg, and with Bernard negotiated the return of Pope Innocent II to Rome from France, and he died in 1134. So Saint Norbert, pray for us. Boy, that was a tell you what, that was a tough word. I'm just going to leave it the way it was. I hope I came close to it. Every now and then, man, I tell you what, I run into one of these words that's just really challenging. It's one of the joys of doing radio sometimes. So how are you? You doing okay? So glad to hear it. I found out some interesting news today. I'm going to share it with you. Might be a little TMI, but I think we've talked about this before on the program. So I went to the doctor not too long ago, and they saw something that might indicate, well, after the test came back today, it might indicate that I am developing another kidney stone. I don't know if you remember, about 2 years ago, I had a kidney stone. It was pretty painful. I didn't know what it was at the time, but now I know that I'm prone to them. But if you wouldn't mind saying a prayer for your old buddy Gary, that it's not going to be too much of a problem. I have to have an ultrasound of my kidneys on Wednesday, and we're going to see what happens. But having gone through that pain once, I just don't want to have to go through it again if I don't have to. But we'll see what happens. And again, if you wouldn't mind saying a prayer, I would greatly appreciate that. So that was the fun that I had today. But Thank God I'm not in any pain, but we'll just see what develops. I know when these things do start to, when the kidneys don't start to move, they can be really painful. That's what I found out last time. But, so that's what's going on in my life today. So I hopefully you've had a little bit of a better day than that. But I want to get to these readings because these are really good. These are the Daily Mass readings for Monday of the 10th week in Ordinary Time. The first reading, we're going to start the first book of Kings and read about Elijah the prophet. Now, this is a great story, and over the next several weeks, I don't know if it's the next several weeks, but over the next few days at least, we're going to learn about Elijah the prophet. And his is a very good story. Elijah was known as a non-writing prophet. He doesn't have any writings, but he would verbally prophesy. And this is about, this reading picks up today when Elijah first began to prophesy on behalf of God. It's 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 1 through 6. Elijah the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, during these years there shall be no dew or rain except at my word." The Lord then said to Elijah, "Leave here, go east, and hide in the Wadi Kirith, east of the Jordan. You shall drink of the stream, and I have commanded ravens to feed you there." So he left and did as the Lord had commanded. He went and remained by the Wadi Kirith, east of the Jordan. Ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the stream. What I like about this story is the fact that Elijah, what was happening here is that the people, the Israelites, are being punished for disobeying the Lord, and they're being punished by a drought, and God is communicating his message to Elijah. Elijah is passing on, in this instance, to King Ahab, stating that there will not be any dew or rain except at his word. So the Lord's going to let Elijah know, and eventually the rain will come, but right now they're in the midst of a drought. Then the Lord gives Elijah instructions to go east of the Jordan, and he's going to provide him with water to drink and food to eat. This is a great reminder of God's providence. It also is an example for all of us of listening to the Lord. The Lord is talking to Elijah. He's talking to him, telling him that he's got a job for him, and Elijah is going to go and listen and trust that the Lord will provide. Now, tomorrow, we're going to hear that the Lord used Elijah for a certain point in time to go to the location where he's at now. Well, then he's going to tell him it's time to move on, and once again, Elijah will do so. He'll listen to the Lord. And he will be provided for. And he will also be used to provide for somebody else. It's kind of cool what will happen tomorrow. So we'll leave that for tomorrow. But in the meantime, this is a good story. And it's an example for all of us. Are you willing to, number one, listen to the Lord and obey him, even if it involves stepping out of your comfort zone? Are you willing to do that? Elijah certainly was. And this is a question for each of us. Are we willing to do that? Psalm 121 reminds us that ultimately, even though we might think we are providing for ourselves or for our families, ultimately all providence comes from the Lord. He's the one who's providing for us. He provides for all of his creatures. Psalm 121, "Our help is from the Lord who made heaven and earth. I lift up my eyes toward the mountains. Whence shall help come to me? My help is from the Lord who made heaven and earth. May he not suffer your foot to slip. May he slumber not who guards you. Indeed, he neither slumbers nor sleeps, the guardian of Israel. The Lord is your guardian. The Lord is your shade. He is beside you at your right hand. The sun shall not harm you by day, nor the moon by night." Our help is from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Do we recognize? Oh, wait, there's a little bit more. Sorry. "The Lord will guard you from evil. He will guard your life. The Lord will guard your coming and your going, both now and forever. Our help is from the Lord who made heaven and earth." Sorry about that. I didn't see there was a little bit more of the psalm on the next page. are we recognizing the fact that everything that we have in life comes from the Lord? If he wants it to dry up, it's going to dry up. Do we recognize that? Or do we put a little too much faith in our own bank account, in our own abilities, in the fact that we're very successful and that our job might be secure? We get a little comfy, don't we? A little complacent sometimes. Let's always remember that there is no guarantee that we'll see tomorrow. Nothing is guaranteed. The only thing guaranteed is that the Lord will always be there for us and will always provide for us. Let's make sure we put our faith in him. Today's gospel is incredibly challenging. It's a great message. We've heard it so many times that unfortunately we can tend to ignore it. It's the Beatitudes. Jesus is giving his Sermon on the Mount. He begins it with the Beatitudes. We've heard these so many times. These are the steps that will bring us happiness. If we live this way, we will be happy. But yet we seek happiness in so many other ways and things, don't we? We're always pursuing happiness in ways that, quite for the most part, don't bring us happiness. They might bring us some sort of a temporary joy, but it doesn't last. The happiness talked about in the Beatitudes is lasting. It's a lasting peace and joy that comes directly from the Lord. So let's take a look at them. Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up to the mountain, and after he had sat down, his disciples came to him. He began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the land. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are they who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when they insult you and persecute you and utter every kind of evil against you falsely because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven. Thus they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Now, boy, when you read the Beatitudes, these are challenging, because when you talk about happiness in life, and there are certain biblical translations that use the word happy instead of blessed. For instance, the Jerusalem Bible uses "happy are the poor in spirit." And the Greek word is makarios, which can be translated happy or blessed. And that's the important thing to keep in mind about these statements, these instructions, if you will, from Jesus. They will bring happiness, even though you look at them and you might not necessarily see that. Blessed are the poor in spirit. What are, or who are, the poor in spirit? The poor in spirit are those who recognize that everything that they have comes from the Lord. Spiritual poverty is the philosophy of not holding on to things, not assuming that anything is yours, but instead recognizing that everything you have was given to you by the Lord, and you don't get too attached to anything, right? You don't get too attached to anything. That's going to bring you great joy in life. But again, that's not the message you get from the world, and many of us fall victim to that. We think, well, if I just buy this thing, I'm going to be happy. And maybe you'll get it a little bit of a boost initially when you buy it, but you know it doesn't last. Blessed are they who mourn, for they will be comforted. One of the things that is a little bit counterintuitive to us is this idea of delayed gratification. We want to get our pleasure in this life. Well, that doesn't always happen. There's going to be a certain sense of sadness in this life, but it's sacrifice. If you've ever sacrificed or fasted in any way, it involves a little bit of a lack of pleasure at the time. You give up some temporary pleasure, but you know that there is a bigger reward. You know, there's a bigger reward coming in the next life. And that's certainly something to remember. In heaven, we will really be able to live without any illness, without any worries, without any pain. And that's one of the reasons we want to make sure we get there. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the land. Meek doesn't mean that you're afraid to speak out. Meek doesn't mean that you are just going to be complacent and lukewarm and don't ever want to make waves. That's not what meekness means. Meekness and all of these things in the Beatitudes are essentially imitating Jesus. We're imitating Jesus through these Beatitudes. That's what we're doing here. So to be meek doesn't at all mean that you don't ever do anything or don't want to offend anybody. Meek means essentially to be childlike and to trust in God's providence for your life. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And I would say, look, if you're listening to this program, you're probably on the right track. You're trying to do the right thing. You're trying to grow closer to our Lord and please Him. That's good. Blessed are the merciful. We're in the year of mercy, and Jesus is very clear about the fact that if we don't show mercy, we better not expect mercy in return. And one day we're going to be judged and need mercy. And God has been merciful to us, and God will continue to be merciful to us throughout our lives. But are we willing to be merciful to others? Blessed are the clean of heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers. Are you a peacemaker, or do you cause problems? Do you go around causing trouble? Blessed are they who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Religious persecution, we all know it's not a lot of fun. It could come in many different varieties. You can have verbal persecution. You could have physical persecution. But we know that any pain we bear out of love of God will be rewarded for. But you know, you don't get your reward here. There'll be suffering here. But with the help of the Lord, with the help of the grace that He gives you, that suffering can become less painful. It can almost become sweet, because when you suffer, you're united closely with the Lord. And again, this is a paradox. It doesn't make sense in the eyes of the world. Blessed are you when they insult you and persecute you and utter every evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad when you are in this position, when you are being persecuted in this way, even if people are making things up. You're going to be very close to Jesus, because that's exactly what He went through. So if you want to grow close to Christ, one of the ways is to accept. You don't necessarily have to go looking for it. You don't have to go seeking it out. But I guarantee you, if you share your faith enough, if you talk about Jesus enough, you will eventually run into persecution. And it's at that point you can embrace that persecution and realize that you're very close to the Lord when that's happening. So these Beatitudes are all about a way of life that delays the pleasure. And it recognizes the fact that you're not going to go through this life with no problems, having your heaven on earth. Your heaven's got to be in heaven. And it's something we forget about sometimes. It's really easy to lose sight of. So let's keep that in mind, and let's pray for the grace to be able to follow these Beatitudes, because that's the way you're going to be peaceful. Now, let's shift gears a little bit and talk about prayer. I'm reading from the Compendium of the Catechism of the Catholic Church. This is a question and answer form of the Catechism, which is the official teaching of the Catholic Church. And we're so blessed to be able to have this, because this way we know what our church teaches. And as Catholics, we've often not done the best job learning about what it is that our church teaches. But I would suspect that most of you, if you're listening to this program, you do care, because otherwise you wouldn't be listening. So that's a good thing. But let's talk a little bit about prayer in the age of the church. This is question 548. How did the first Christian community in Jerusalem pray? At the beginning of the Acts of the Apostles, it is written that in the first community of Jerusalem, educated in the life of prayer by the Holy Spirit, the faithful devoted themselves to the teaching of the apostles, and to the communal life, to the breaking of the bread, and to the prayers. So we see a glimpse into the prayer life of the early church in the Acts of the Apostles. And if you haven't done so, make sure you read the Acts of the Apostles. We read it over the Easter season, at least on this show, and the Acts of the Apostles were featured in the daily mass readings throughout the Easter season. I just love the story of the early church. It's very inspiring. How does the Holy Spirit intervene in the church's prayer? And that's a good question, isn't it? Because sometimes we get confused by the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is invisible and we can't picture him. He's either represented as a dove or wind or fire. It's a little confusing. How does this Holy Spirit intervene in the prayer of the church? The Holy Spirit, the interior master of Christian prayer, forms the church in the life of prayer and allows her to enter ever more deeply into contemplation of and union with the unfathomable mystery of Christ. The forms of prayer expressed in the apostolic and canonical writings remain normative for Christian prayer. So when we're looking at the official prayers of the church, the liturgy of the hours, when we look at the prayers that we pray during Mass, these are formed by the Holy Spirit. This is a great way, using some of these prayers, to form your own prayer life, to learn how the church prays, and to pray with the church. Because that really unites us closely to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's a really cool thing. What are the essential forms of Christian prayer? They are blessing and adoration, the prayer of petition and intercession, thanksgiving, and praise. The Eucharist contains and expresses all the forms of prayer. Isn't that cool? So when you go to Mass, you are participating in all of the various forms of prayers. Now let's talk about some of these, because oftentimes it is confusing. You hear the word pray, we sometimes just think of, well, when we pray, we ask for things. Well, that's only one form of prayer. So what is the prayer called blessing? What is blessing? A prayer of blessing, or the prayer of blessing, is man's response to God's gifts. We bless the Almighty, who first blesses us and fills us with his gifts. So we can pray prayers of blessings to the Lord. We bless him based on how he has blessed us. And one of the great gifts that he has given us is the gift of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit can pray through us. It's an amazing concept. It's something that it's really powerful. And we're never going to fully understand, but it's really cool. And before you pray, you can ask the Holy Spirit to inspire your prayers. How can adoration be defined? Adoration is the humble acknowledgement by human beings that they are creatures of the thrice holy Creator. Sounds a little fancy, but we were created by God. We were created by God, and we can adore him and acknowledge the fact that he's the Creator, we're the creatures. What are the different forms of the prayer of petition? It can be a petition for pardon, or also a humble and trusting petition for all our needs, either spiritual or material. The first thing to ask for, however, is the coming of the kingdom. So prayer of petition is asking for what we need. And what does the prayer of intercession consist? Intercession consists in asking on behalf of another. It conforms us and unites us to the prayer of Jesus, who intercedes with the Father for all, especially sinners. Intercession must extend even to one's enemy. So we're required as Christians to pray not only for our friends, but for our enemies. When is thanksgiving given to God? The church gives thanks to God unceasingly, above all in celebrating the Eucharist, in which Christ allows her to participate in his own thanksgiving to the Father. For the Christian, every event becomes a reason for giving thanks. We should always pray prayers of thanksgiving each day. The Eucharist, obviously, is the ultimate form of thanksgiving. What is the prayer of praise? Praise is the form of prayer which recognizes most immediately that God is God. It's a completely disinterested prayer. It sings God's praise for his own sake and gives him glory simply because he is. So in other words, just the fact that he's God, we praise him. We're not necessarily thanking him for anything. He's God, and we praise him for that. So there you go. Some different forms of prayer. And we just barely scratched the surface, but I thought you'd like to hear about that. I am out of time. Now, God willing, I'm going to be back here tomorrow. I hope you'll be able to join me. If you have questions, please email me at Gary@followingthetruth.com. Have a great night, and we'll talk to you soon. God bless.